Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom or great peace have those who love his Torah or the instructions and his law which he has given us. And it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that, it's the very reason to why we like to study his Torah, why we like to study his word and the commandments and the instructions in which he has given us. And this week, we have the joy of celebrating the feast of Shavuot. You know, we have been counting the Omer since Passover. And so now we have approached Shavuot. This first day of the week, this Sunday coming up, will be Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. So tradition tells us that it was at this time that Moses gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, or you could actually say that Yahweh gave them unto Israel through Moses. And it was at this moment in time that Yahweh himself, you would say, actually entered into covenant with Israel. So I want to go ahead and start off with reading a passage here in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, on the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. Yahweh called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So I want to pause here for a moment. So God has brought Israel out of the land of Egypt. They have traveled across the Red Sea, and now they find themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai. Yahweh begins his instructions, or this time of instructing Israel, where he's going to go into covenant with them by reminding them what he has done for them. He says, remember how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, how I delivered you from Egypt. So remember the deliverance that I gave you from Egypt, the miraculous deliverance. Israel was under bondage in Egypt. They were unable to get out of that bondage on their own. Yahweh comes in on the night of the Passover with the death angel, kills all the firstborn of those that did not have blood upon the doorposts of their homes. And during that night, the children of Israel was able to flee and leave out of Egypt with all of their stuff, and they even plundered Egypt on their way out. And it speaks of how he bore them on eagle's wings as he brought them out of Egypt. This speaks of how he brought a supernatural deliverance upon Israel as he brought them out of Egypt, that he carried them on his wings. He carried them by his strength, by who he was, by his character, by his deliverance. He carried them out of Egypt. They did not come out of Egypt on their strength, on their power, or by their ability, but they came out upon the deliverance, or you could say upon the ability, the strength, and the power of God himself. He bore them on eagle's wings. So he delivered them out of Egypt for a reason, for a purpose. Remember, Moses kept going before Pharaoh saying, let my people go so that they can go and worship me. The very reason upon why he was calling Israel and delivering them out of Egypt was to bring them out of the land of Egypt, ultimately to bring them into the land that was promised unto Abraham so that they could worship him, so that he could give them what we call the Torah, or his law, his commandments, so that they could worship him. The Torah was a tool to instruct Israel on how to worship Yahweh. The Torah was not a tool to bring deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. Torah could not deliver them from Egypt. They could only be delivered out of Egypt by being carried on the wings of God himself, And ultimately, we see the picture in the Passover with the shedding of the blood, speaking of what Yeshua would do for us. How we were living in a life tied up in sin, under the bondage of sin, but we needed his blood. We needed him to die upon that cross for us so that we could be delivered from an enemy that was stronger than us. He supernaturally delivers us so that we can be brought out of the life of sin, out of living for our flesh, out of living like this world, no longer being conformed unto this world, but being transformed into the image of Yeshua so that we can now worship the living God of Israel. And the Torah is our tool. It is our guideline on how to worship him, how to love him, and how to love people. Let's look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. We'll continue reading here. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. So here in verse 5, we see he has spoken of his deliverance unto Israel. And now he says, if you will keep my voice and keep my commandments, obey my voice, keep my commandments. Okay, so he is now going to go into what his covenant is with Israel. He is going to lay out his covenant. I've brought you out of Egypt. I've brought you over here to worship me. Now, in order to worship me, you need to be in covenant with me, and you need to walk in covenant with me. You need to be a covenant keeper in order to worship me. And when we are his covenant people, when we walk in covenant with him, when we obey his voice, we are his treasured possession among all people. We are set apart. His blessing is upon us. He pours out his goodness upon us. It does not mean that we will not face trouble. We will still face trials. We will still experience hardship, but his blessings will be with us. His grace will be with us to sustain us through those periods. He will look after and watch over us. He will be our God. That is his end of the covenant. Our end of the covenant is to keep the very commands and instructions in which he goes on in chapter 19 to lay out to the children of Israel there at Mount Sinai. Let's look at verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So, what are they to be? I've called you out of Egypt so you can come into this land, you can worship me, and you are to be a kingdom of priests. We are to be a people who worship him, who are set apart. You are to be a holy nation, okay? We are to be a group of people who are set apart from the world. How are we a kingdom of priests and a set apart nation? By being a people who are not conformed to this world, by giving in to the fleshly desires of our bodies, of our flesh, giving in to temptation, but we stand firm against temptation, we resist temptation, and we are strong to be obedient and to follow his instructions, his commandments, the law which he has given us in his Torah. By that, we are set apart from the world. We are transformed into the image of Yeshua. We are to walk just as he walked. And remember, he was perfectly obedient to the Torah, to God's commandments, to the will of his Father. So we need to be a people, a priest, who learn his word, who learn his commands, his Torah, who learns the desire of our Father, the very things which he has commanded us to do, and how we are to love him, how we are to worship him, and that which is set apart, and that which is pleasing unto him, not which seems right in our own eyes, but that which he has laid out to be how he wants to be worshiped. And that's what the Torah is about. He gives us how he wants to be worshiped. He does not want to be worshiped in the way the nations worship their gods. He does not want to be worshiped in what is a mixed form of worship. He has laid out his dates that he wants to be worshiped, his feast dates, and when we follow those, we are worshiping him in set apartness. His word tells us how we are to love people, which sets us apart from the world, which causes us to treat people differently than the world treats people. So we have been called to be set apart. Let's look at verse 7. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that Yahweh had commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, "All that Yahweh has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to Yahweh. So here we see in this verse, what does Moses do? He comes before Israel with all the words that Yahweh, that God himself had commanded him. This is what we would find later spelled out in the Torah, his instructions on how to love people, how to love him, how they are to act as a priesthood and as a holy nation. Okay, so he comes before them, he lays them out. So this is what happens at Mount Sinai. He lays out the Ten Commandments that we all know, and he also goes on and he lays out the other commandments that follow afterwards. And all the people, upon hearing this, say that they will do all that Yahweh has spoken. So they agree to enter into covenant with the God of Israel, with the living God of Israel, with Yahweh himself. So they have entered into covenant with him, meaning that they have said that they will follow his words, the instructions he has commanded. And remember, God's command, his end, is that they will be a treasured people unto him. He will be their God. He will protect them. He will deliver them. He will provide for them. He will pour out his blessings upon them. He will bring rain when rain is needed. He will make sure they have food to eat. Okay, so Israel has entered into covenant. So this is really what we could say Shavuot is about. It's about a time where we remember how Israel entered into covenant with the Almighty. They were delivered from Egypt and Passover. Now at Shavuot, they have entered into covenant with the living God of Israel, that they have agreed to not be like the world, to not live like the world, to live like the other nations, but that they are going to be a set apart nation. And the way that they are going to be a set apart nation is by being obedient to his commands. Same goes with us today. What sets us apart from the world? By being obedient to his commands. So this Shavuot, we can remember and look back and focus upon the fact that we are in covenant with the living God of Israel. And he desires for us to walk faithfully in his covenant with him. So I have a couple of verses here that I want to look at regarding what some would say as the new covenant of what our covenant with Yahweh looks like now after Yeshua died upon that cross. So let's look at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now remember, before Israel ever actually entered into covenant with Yahweh at Mount Sinai, before they were ever given the law, they were redeemed out of Egypt by the shedding of the blood of an innocent lamb. Yeshua's blood was poured out upon that tree for us. It is the very blood of the covenant. You cannot have a covenant without the shedding of blood. Blood has to be shed. Yeshua's blood was shed upon that cross so that we could have a new covenant with Yahweh. Now, we're going to see as we go on in this teaching what that new covenant really means, what it means to be in covenant with Yahweh. Well, the first thing, though, that had to happen in order for us to walk in covenant with Yahweh is that our sins had to be forgiven. So Yeshua, the one who was without sin, had to die upon that cross so that his blood could be shed, and that by his blood, we could be forgiven of our sins and we can enter into the new covenant with Yahweh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ or Messiah is it taken away. So here Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and he's talking about how when Moses would go up onto the mountain, his face would shine with this glory. But when he came down from the mountain, that glory would begin to fade from his face. So he put a veil over his face so that Israel could not see the glory fading away. And so Paul is saying, because Moses had this veil upon his face, as he was reading the old covenant, he says here, or the Torah, or the commandments that he was giving unto Israel, for them to know how they were to walk in this covenant, they were looking through a veil. They were hindered from seeing the glory, you could even say. And Paul says that that same veil remains in front of their face to those who do not believe in Messiah. So if you do not believe in Messiah, you can have the Torah read to you all day long. You can study the Torah all day long. You can study his commands and his instructions all day long. But you will not see the Messiah. You will not have freedom. You will not be able to walk in covenant with Yahweh until first the veil is taken away. And that veil can only be taken away through Messiah. When belief is put into Messiah, then the veil is removed and we can truly see his commands for what they are. They could not truly see his commands for what they were because they did not have Messiah. In fact, the Jews had gotten to the point where they were keeping the Torah out of religious obligation or religious rules instead of out of a means of a people who loved and believed in God, who were redeemed, and doing it out of a means of being sanctified from the nations. Let's look at verse 15. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So when one puts their belief in Yeshua as their Redeemer, as the Messiah, the veil is removed for them to clearly see and understand the Torah. That is what Paul is saying. He's not saying that the Torah in itself is a bad thing in this passage. The Torah in itself cannot redeem an individual. The Torah in itself cannot forgive a person of their sins. In fact, it does the opposite. It points to a person to tell them they are a sinner and that they need the Messiah. They need to be washed in the blood of Yeshua. That's what the Torah does. It points us to him. It tells us we need redemption. We need to be forgiven of our sins. Let's look at verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes to us from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, let's think about what Paul is really saying here. As we look at tradition, we look at the fact that it was on Shavuot that the law was given. Then we enter into this new covenant. And as we celebrate Shavuot, we look and we see in Acts chapter 2 how he poured out his Spirit upon his people. He has poured out his spirit upon us. On Shavuot, we can experience the same outpouring of his spirit for the very purpose so that we can walk in freedom. But the freedom is not for us to walk as the world walks. It's not for us to be like the world, but yet say, I'm forgiven and I still get to go to heaven because I am free, because I'm where the Lord is. I have the spirit of the Lord. I believe in Yeshua. No. Yeshua died upon that cross so that we could be that priesthood and that holy nation that we were called to be. So his spirit is poured out upon us so that we are now free to be that priesthood. We are now free to be a holy nation, a set apart people. We could not walk in set apartness. We could not be a priesthood before we put our belief in Yeshua. We were not free to do so. We were under the bondage of sin. But now that we have put our belief in Yeshua, his blood has been applied to our hearts. We have been cleansed of all of our uncleanness, forgiven of all of our sins. He has put his spirit inside of us. And now we have freedom to walk in obedience to his word. Because as Paul would say in Romans, you are a servant or a slave to whom you obey. So even if you believe in Yeshua and you say you have the spirit, if you are obeying your sinful flesh, if you're walking as the world walks, then you are not free. You are a servant unto your flesh. But he has called us to be a servant unto righteousness, which actually is freedom. That is what freedom is. So we are now free to walk in obedience to his word, to be transformed into the same image of Yeshua, to walk as he walked, to be what he was, to be obedient just as he was obedient. But this is a walk. We are going through a process, one degree of glory to another degree. It's one step at a time. Now let's look at verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who were being sanctified. So here we see the writer of Hebrews is telling us, Yeshua offered that single sacrifice. His blood was shed for us so that we could be forgiven. That one offering was all that was needed. And now we as believers are being perfected or being made into the same image as him. We are being sanctified. Okay, so he has forgiven us of all of our sins. He sees us as righteous. He sees us as justified or as forgiven in right standing. But we are in the process of being sanctified. We are in the process of becoming less like the world and more like him. Let's look at verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So here, the writer of Hebrews tells us what his covenant is. This is the new covenant. This is the covenant he has made, that the law that he gave Israel, that he wrote on stone upon that mountain, he has now taken that covenant, and by his spirit that he poured out on Shavuot, he now writes that law upon our hearts and upon our minds. He gives us a desire to want to walk in obedience to him, and he gives us the ability and the strength to walk in obedience to him. We cannot walk faithfully in the covenant on our own strength, on our own ability. It is by his Spirit. It is by us learning how to resist our temptations, to resist the urges of our flesh, to yield to his Holy Spirit, to develop that relationship with his Spirit, to be filled by his Spirit. And when we're filled with his Spirit, we get the desire to walk in obedience to his word and the ability to do it. If we do not have a desire to walk in obedience to his word, we have to ask ourselves, are we filled with his Spirit? Do we need to cry out to be filled afresh with his Spirit? Now let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. So I want to close with this. This Shavuot, let us examine ourselves. Let us look in our hearts. Let us cry out again to be filled afresh with his Spirit, to be immersed in his Spirit, to continually be filled with his Spirit. We see in the book of Acts that the disciples were continually filled with his Spirit. We need to continually be filled with his Spirit so that we will have a heart inside of us that desires to walk in obedience to his word. It is by his Spirit. When his Spirit is not in us, then we will not have the desire to walk in obedience to his word. So let's cry out to be filled with his Spirit once again, so that we will walk in his righteousness, so that we will resist the temptations of our flesh and resist the evil and the sin that is before our eyes, that we will flee from it and we will do that which is right, that which is holy before our God. And how do we know what is right and what is holy and just before him? By knowing and understanding his law, his Torah. That is our guideline. That is what guides us through this dark world. So let us cry out again for a fresh outpouring of his Spirit so that we can be a people who can walk faithfully in covenant with our God. And as we walk faithfully in covenant with him, he will pour out his blessings upon us. That is why I included the last three verses of that last passage. I'm going to read them again. You shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. So may his blessings be upon you as you walk in covenant with the living God of Israel. Well, I am so glad that you have joined us for this week. I hope that you have a blessed and a wonderful Shavuot. May you be filled afresh with his Spirit this Shavuot. And we will be back again next week with a teaching from the next Torah portion. So come back and join us for that. So come back now and shalom, y'all.